I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Previously on Chaotic Normal, after successfully absconding with the ewer from the Temple of Crocodile and Man, the crew of Melora's Borealis exited the temple only to be attacked by goblins, one of which knocked Celeste out. After dispatching of them and escaping, we returned to Camp Vengeance, where we then managed to abscond with a new member of the crew by the name of Samson, a cowardly cleric who we figured might do a bit of healing, but we'll see how that works out. But in the dead of night, we set some fires and barely escaped with our lives before returning to the ship successful on our mission. The crew now turns its way towards the Azure Stand, with the adventurer Darwin Nash at our side to help navigate the way to the Druid Grove, where the ewer can be used to find, I'm sure, some amazing treasure. But will it be more than we bargained for, and will the tensions aboard the ship finally settle down? Let us find out on Chaotic Normal, The Shattered Isles.
As Darwin Nash explains, as I said, and to recap for you and your whole crew, he gestures to the whole crew, currently being served up a delicious meal in order to bolster their spirits by ship's cook Zelnern. But Darwin Nash continues, as I explained, this ewer that we have taken from the Temple of Crocodile and Man, while it could serve to create mayonnaise by filling it with water, it has better purposes still. I have reason to believe, through vast research and copious amounts of studying the relics of the Ancient Ones and their ruins, that this ewer was specifically designed, gifted, to show a map that leads to the forbidden city of the Ancient Ones, a place far at the edges of the Ancien Achapel, a place untouched by goblins, untouched by any who would dare to despoil it. Whoever finds the forbidden city of the Ancient Ones, they will uncover riches and secrets of the Ancient Ones that cannot compare to any other, or that cannot be compared to any other. Riches beyond reason. Fame would pour into us, and you see a glow, almost a splendor in his eyes as he finishes the last piece, and most importantly, knowledge of that ancient time would be ours, would be the world's. But for the ewer to work that way, it must be filled with water, not just any water, though. You mentioned that you were coming to find me, trying to seek the Azure Stand. Well, your luck, it seems, is guided by Melora herself, and he gestures towards your ship, just as your name might suggest, because there is said to be a pool of the very water I need. Water held sacred by the ancient ones, purified and kept safe by them. This water, if filled into this ewer, will allow us to pour forth a map that will show us to the Forbidden City. We need only reach this water, which is at the heart of the Azure Stand. There's some murmur among the crowd, a worried fear, and someone says, "No one what goes into the Azure Stand ever comes back." And the more people mutter that through the fine meal being prepared for them by Zelnern. You're all aware that your ship has still, like, terribly low morale. Nothing good has really happened to them since they discovered there was a Kraken's curse on them and their captain started wearing a knot of kelp about his neck. So there is a general sense of mutiny. And you hear that rabble among the crowd talking as they're saying, "Ain't no one ever come back what steps foot into the Azure Stand. It's a cursed place." You hear someone shout, "They say it eats men." "What eats men?" "It, I don't know."
"Please, please, everyone. They also said no one could survive the Kraken's curse, and look at us now. We are here, alive as the day we were born. No?"
Performance.
Okay. Five plus seven, 12.
The crowd seems to take this as a mollifying, but it doesn't bolster them. In fact, you hear one of your crewmen, a sort of permanently sickly looking crewman on scrub watch, speaks up and says, "I was actually born dead for 3 minutes."
"And look at you now. You're doing great. Let's chin up."
Fortunately, a couple crew take this man's complaint and your rallying of "we can dodge the Kraken's curse," to instead turn the attention to this man and start muttering that he is in fact cursed. And the only way a child could have survived through that must be they made a deal with the sailor's devil. And so as their curse fear turns away from the Azure Stand towards the scrub watchman, you successfully mollified the crew.
Good.
Darwin Nash looks to you all and says, "So it's to the Azure Stand then?"
"Yes, that was our destination and the reason we sought you out. I did have a quick question about this ewer, as you called it. Before we get there, we can still use it for wine, right?"
He considers it and says, and he drags his hand along the narrow, well-groomed, mustache that he has that looks kind of like a classic, like, villainous wizard. And as he pulls it out, he says, "If I had my notes, I could confirm against this. Perhaps the best course is not to head straight to the Azure Stand, but instead to finish the several-day journey back to the Port Providence, where I have copies of all my notes, and then we could return out here, reprovision, and return out here in about 10 to 12 days."
"We don't have that kind of time. Let's just trust that we can use it." And as Ribera's hands are behind his back...
"What have you already used it?"
No. As I wipe some wine from my lips.
Darwin really laughs.
Jumping the risks, aren't you there, Robert?
"Me? Never, no."
So chaotic.
Darwin laughs and says, "At least it's not mayonnaise." I don't know why the alchemy jug makes mayonnaise. Why can it make a gallon of mayo? What is the impetus for that? It's like 5 options. One of them is mayonnaise.
Hey, maybe someone's going keto and they really need some fat-heavy options.
I'm pretty sure the entire ship is on an involuntary keto diet, to be fair.
It's mostly just not eating the diet, but yeah.
A calorie cut. It's perfect.
This episode brought to you by body shaming and weight issues. No, this is going to become a fitness hammer podcast or a fitness D&D podcast where we're going to get strong, but also play D&D. So it like reclaims D&D for masculine people, you know?
Yeah, that's what it needs. I'll just edit in the sounds of like the clanking of barbells in the background and just like grunting.
This is what the people want. All right, that diversion aside. Can Darwin Nash.
Melora's Muscles.
Yeah, that's the new name.
Thanks.
All right, so Darwin Nash, after seeing you've already used it for wine, he shakes his head, and you can't tell if his laugh is out of genuine enjoyment or a person who doesn't know how else to engage with something awful that he's just seen.
Well, that's a laugh. Hey, I'll take it.
You then hear, as he kind of steps away, you hear him mutter, "It belongs in a museum." he kind of steps away, leaving you all to make your decision. You've already set a course for north, trying to leave the islands, the shallow islands where Camp Vengeance and Camp Righteous are located, traveling north through them along its basically very wide, almost river-like inlets that cut between the islands, and headed north to where you believe the Azure Stand is supposed to be located. You haven't seen it before, but your map suggests it's in that area. So as you make this trip north, you, based on Celeste's navigational charts, believe that it's going to take till the early hours, or like till like around midnight, or like shouldn't take you, and that you should arrive at the Azure Stand by late night. Is there any or very early morning hours, is there any preparations you want to make as you travel to the Azure Stand?
Can I actually, as Devin Nash leaves, can I like follow him and be like, "Hey, Mr. Nash, let me show you about the ship. I'll show you your quarters and give you the whole rundown, the lay of the law."
Love it. So what kind of quarters are you providing to this esteemed guest, famed explorer Darwin Nash?
I assume that, I don't think this is Phil's decision. I feel like this is Jules' decision. Like maybe Jules would have, I feel like we would have had this conversation already because he's the first mate. But since I'm like, I forgot what my position title is already.
Bosun.
Oh God. Since I'm a bosun, I feel like I'm kind of expected to like lead him there and give him the tour a little bit.
Fair enough.
I don't know what kind of accommodations we really have. Nothing too fancy, right?
No, you really, you don't have the ship you chose specifically only has a luxurious captain's cabin, and then there's spaces that are like sailcloth canvas that you've used to split up one chamber, I guess, into several officers' quarters. But because it's only like canvas sheets between the that are, make up these rooms and their walls, it's not really quarters. It's visual privacy at best. And then the bulk of the crew sleeps below deck in cots or on deck when the weather's nice.
So maybe I lead him to, okay, so if we have like canvas that's like breaking your view, obviously the best places would be like the corners of the boat, because that way you have like two private walls versus having only one private wall. So I give him like, we obviously lead him to like one of those rooms. I'm like, so there's your hay. We made sure they changed it. You could sleep on that. You could actually put it and make like a hammock if you wanted to. There's a bedpan, but you don't need that. You should just go to the poop deck. That's gross. No one uses the bedpan. Just go to the poop deck. Here's your mug for grog. And I think that's about it. But do you have a minute? I want to ask you a private question.
He's inspecting the like grog mug and like pulls off like a thin piece of mold or something. Just of course. What can I help you with?
Yeah. So you were talking about the waters of Azure Stand and that it's, you know, important and something about this jug. You know anything about like a fountain of youth or, you know, some. When you said these waters are special, could they like give you some more time to live, or got any lore like that we can work around?
He shakes his head and says, I am not a rumor monger nor a storyteller. I'm a historian. I make a habit of not espousing every theory I've heard without first doing the due diligence to be sure that it is a well-founded theory. So I have heard much about the waters of the Azure Stand, but I would jot most of it to rumor, just like the whole myth of no one ever having stepped foot and lived on Azure Stand.
So you're saying there's a chance?
He shakes his head and he says, I think if you're looking for rumors about fountains of youth, you would be best suited to speak to your crew. That's the kind of work that my failed apprentice would dwell on.
Well, you know what? Why don't we keep this between you and us? And to seal the deal, I'll make sure you get like a stool or like a table so you can do a little bit of work in here. And we'll go from there. All right. Yeah, I cleaned that mug just for you. I gotta go. Bye.
You depart. And as you depart, you find actually ship's healer Samson is standing in the hallway and says, I heard you were assigning officer's quarters.
Are you lost, boy?
It's just as ship's doctor, I wanted to
what
see
was your name again?
Samson?
Shanghai? What was it?
And you see him kind of stumble, and it's clear to you he does not have sea legs. And the greenness in his face becomes very clear. He gets seasick.
Oh, God. I put him under my shoulder and rush him upstairs. Get him up to, like, a banister so he can start puking.
He does hurl over the edge into the sea as the sun is setting, and it's a glorious blue... Or it's a glorious, like, orange. It's beautiful. All of the sailors look with apprehension, though, as the sun sets, just as all sailors in the Shattered Isles do, for fear of seeing that green light that means the sailor's devil is coming. There is no green light as the sun sets tonight, but there is green as the ship's doctor vomits everything he's eaten in the last week over the side of the rail, down the like keel of the boat and into the sea to feed the crabs.
Jeez. Hey, when you're done, just go see Jules. I gotta go.
Jules, soon later, a shaky Samson, ship's doctor, and now apostate clergyman of the ecclesiarchy finds you. And you can tell he's pallid and he's about as pale as you are now. And he does not have the bloody cuts all across him, though. But as he steps forward to you, he says, excuse me, first mate Jules, I was hoping for room assignment. Oh, God.
You're not looking so good. Are you... You mean they bring you upstairs to puke over the railing or something?
No, I've been up there since sunset already. Oh, I just wanted a place to lay down and see where I'll be working from.
Okay, we can find you a spot. I wasn't really anticipating bringing more souls on board. It's a little tight as it is, but...
Oh, I just... You don't have a dedicated, like, doctor's office or medical bay to work in?
We're still getting things in order here, but you've picked an excellent time to join on. You're getting in right at the beginning.
Getting on the ground floor.
All right, so as you, do you just put him with the crew, or?
Is there any room where we're staying?
So you have six officer spaces, but one of them's been just given away to Darwin Nash.
And what's that total up to? Five fingers plus Darwin Nash? There's no more space.
Well, I'm in the captain's quarters, so there's a space.
Oh, that's true. There is a space. You're good.
I feel like, isn't Celeste upstairs in the, our like amazing
navigator room? Yeah, I'm usually navigating. Room too?
Yeah, but she doesn't have a bed in there.
Oh, I assumed that there was like she turned it into her quarters, but
did you, Celeste?
Yeah, I don't usually leave because I like looking at the stars.
Okay,
that's cool.
So you can have my room. There might be some herbs in there too that he can have to help his stomach.
Excellent. Yeah, Celeste actually just offered to let you take her quarters. So,
he eagerly claims those quarters, disappearing behind the canvas, sick and exhausted. And you watch as he you hear him curling up inside there with a aching, retching noise, but it's a dry sound because he has nothing left to throw up. But he disappears into there, and you kind of hope. Or you hear one of the crewmen that was walking by says, he sounds bad. You should see the ship's doctor. And, yeah. So, you have a seasick doctor, a historian explorer, and you are headed towards the Azurstan with this ewer that's supposed to be dipped in full of this magical water at the heart of the Azurstan that Phil suspects may be a fountain of youth of sorts. Your goal is to dip it in there, apparently, and pour it out to see the map to the forbidden city of the Ancient Ones. But how do you use that ewer in the night as you're heading towards where Azurstan is?
Ooh, dibs. I call dibs.
Oh, I already used it as a wine jug.
Yeah, go dump out that gross spit wine you had and give it to me, because I call dibs.
It's, you can use it once a day, and it's already filled with 2 gallons of wine.
How much of this have you drank? Did you just refill it?
No,
it's You already have a Kraken curse. Don't you have enough?
Okay. No, you choose one liquid to create, and then at the end of the day, you can choose a new liquid. I chose wine today.
Well, so it's not the end of the day yet. There's still time. We can throw out the spit water and do what Celeste wants.
I want to try to figure out the right way to pour it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair. Let's fill like a basin with the wine that's left inside. There we go. Gloop, 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 gloop. All right.
You really think ancient magic's going to give you, a cursed boy, good wine?
It's, sniff it. It's good vintage.
Ugh. No, it smells like a curse.
Okay. You know, just because you don't like wine, Celeste, I know.
Ask Jules. Jules smells wine.
Jules, taste this. Tell me if this is cursed. Celeste is convinced this is cursed.
What is it? It's not cursed. It smells cursed.
I think I've got enough curses for one lifetime. I'll sit this one out.
Okay. Phil, I know you'll partake in some
Jules
of this.
Jules isn't
vintage.
Even going to drink it.
Nah, man. Pour it into 2 basins, and whoever drinks the most first, I'll side with them.
Oh, my God. Go.
You guys want to wager grog on it?
No, I'm not.
Jules, you want to wager grog on who's going to drink it quicker?
Yeah, I'll wager some grog on it.
All right, let's go, Celeste.
Phil's rooting for me. I can't say no to that.
All right, I'm going to want you both to make a Constitution saving throw. Whoever rolls higher is who wins the drinking contest. No one wins. I want to stress this. No one is going to win the drinking a gallon of wine each contest.
I would like to take this moment and point out that when I woke up from my paralysis, I saw the healer upside down and the stars, which shows to me that, according to the cosmos, woe is on my side. So I would like to use that this time to take away 6 points, or D6 from whatever Ruber rolls.
What I also like is you drew... Did you actually draw a healer upside down?
Yeah.
That is wonderful with the sick ship doctor down there.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer to see. So I think this is a fitting time.
I got a 12.
-4.
So I got an 8.
I got 15.
Ruber, you start to feel pretty sick to your stomach about halfway through, and you see Celeste is just easily pulling down the wine without issue. But you feel it getting into you. You realize you have this chance that I'm going to let you push it if you want. You get to re-roll that d20, but you're gonna suffer if you fail. Or you can just concede right now.
I'll concede.
All right, you concede.
Yes.
Drunk as shit on wine. Celeste also drunk.
I'm getting like those heavy swallows, you know, like those. And you like my mouth feels like wet.
Did you two do this as a power hour? Was this just like a shot of wine every minute for?
Yeah, well, I imagine Phil was singing shanties in the background, and while Jules and was shouting like drink every minute, he was counting.
All right, Jules, Annie, give me that grog.
Ah, damn it. Okay.
All right, who wants to play a game of five fingers? Come on, everyone, gather around. I got the dagger for. Hey, you, Phil. Yeah, I know you want another go. You
got. I don't know what you're talking about. I have four fingers now.
You got another hand with five? Come on now.
Get out of here. Don't fuck with me. Samson! Samson, are you okay? I wander off.
You don't have the you don't have bonesaw to or hacksaw to stitch you back together. You got Samson.
Yeah. Samson actually might be a better doctor. We don't know yet.
Alright, I'm gonna go for a swim. I'll see you guys in a little bit.
Classic.
Robert's just gonna like take off his shirt and he's just like in his skivvies and the kelp around his neck and he's just gonna like fall backwards over the deck of the ship.
You topple back over the ship and it takes only a moment before you hear Lenora the Archer shout, "Man overboard! Man overboard!"
Does this count as a mutiny? Am I captain now? Is that how that is?
Immediately sober, or yeah, immediately we sober up. We got him.
You got that on a technicality. Good job, Lenora. I'm gonna mark this one down. Gold star.
You hear a whoever's basically at the wheel shout out like, "All hands to anchor, man overboard!" As the rest of you kind of sit underneath, or like on deck, drinking while your crew around is trying to save the captain. Do you make any attempt to aid or intervene in this, or do you leave it to the crew to save the captain?
No, I do.
They have a quality score of zero, and they don't like the cursed captain, so they might fail.
I got it. Young Amory! Amory, sweet boy! Amory!
He pops up next to you.
He pops up next to you. Right here!
Amory, here, help me. I put my like arm over his shoulder. Get me to my boat!
Wait, so did Phil end up drinking more grog than they did wine, just celebrating their drinking contest?
Get me to the boat, boy. Quickly!
But you're sloshed, sir!
To the boat, quickly!
Amory helps escort the stumbling Phil across the deck into the boat. And as, well, you know, it's tied down on deck to the Naughty Dreams.
Yeah. I pull out my arcane firearm and like shoot whatever the pulley system is so the boat lowers.
Jesus.
You're fortunately in those
can't
like
get calm, you back up.
You're fortunately in those like calm inlet streams, so the waves don't claim the Naughty Dreams. Instead, you and Amory, who have just stepped into the boat, swing down into the water with a scream and hit the water hard, splashing into it. Meanwhile, Robert, you've jumped into the water, falling backwards. It is a graceful motion as you see the stars up above. You see the ship's rigging.
Do you feel the healer upside down like I told you?
You feel the water hit you with a slam. Make an acrobatics check to see how graceful your entry was.
That's going to be 17.
It is actually, it is a graceful entry. The air is not knocked out of you as you hit the water, and instead you dive back into it, disappearing into the deep beneath the dark sea water. Moonlight penetrates down into it, and you can see, almost in ghostly light, the channel that you're moving through, sand and moving about, seaweed reaching up, almost luring, calling to you from the depths. Above the Melora's Borealis, you see its keel going past you. You see the anchor sinking down into the water as they try to slow the ship down to rescue the man overboard. But you find yourself submerged, sinking downwards, deeper and deeper into those darkened depths, going down to those places where the kelp grows.
Yeah, I'm gonna just kind of enjoy it down here for a sec. And then I feel around my neck where the kelp is tightened on the side of my neck. Gills open up.
And why do gills open up?
Because I have a level of warlock and can breathe underwater and have a swim speed of 40.
All right, you're a monster now. You did it. As you disappear into that, feeling yourself suddenly able to breathe, the tendrils of kelp reaching up around you almost look like tentacles, almost look like the kraken encircling and enfolding you. Then though you see the boat above splash down as you see the naughty dreams almost sink down into the depths, nearly capsizing. Phil, I need you to make a dexterity saving throw, you and Amory. Amory gets it at a 17. I need a 10 to not topple overboard into the water.
Oh god. Okay. 19.
You also keep your footing. So you see the naughty dreams splashing down, and you can hear almost echoing through the water the shouts from up above of "Captain!" coming from the crew as they're trying to figure out where did their captain go. Do you stay in the depths in this shadowy water, or do you swim up to the naughty dreams?
I'll look in the tentacles for a second and just give kind of a bow, and then I'll swim to the surface and emerge.
Make a perception check.
Ooh, crit.
When you looked down into the seaweed reaching up like tentacles into that darkness, you couldn't help but feel like you saw something down there. Something looking back. Something with eyes almost bug-like, a great scaled body, and an infinite sea of teeth. But for a moment, as you swim back up, the memory of that, you've shaken it away, it wasn't there, but you couldn't help but feel like you saw the heart of the deep. You break the surface, not 10 yards away, 10 leagues, no, how far is a league? What is a sea water, or a yard called? You're not 10 sea yards away from the naughty dreams, and it's clearly easy for you to get there now that you have a swim speed. You pull yourself up onto deck, or hauling yourself over with the help of young Amory, who says, "Oh God, sir, you almost fell in the, or you almost drowned."
"Oh, no, I told you I was going for a swim. I'm fine. There was nothing to trouble yourself, son."
As Amory kind of helps you onto deck and you're soaking, or what? I guess you took off your clothes. Phil's just drunk as shit on the front bench. You know, he's got an oar in one hand, but he's more leaning on it for support than he is using it. And Amory says, "Oh my God, sir, you were got. They slashed your neck." And he points to the gills along your neck. "You got cut, sir."
"Oh no. And I'll put my hands over him and like shutter them down real quick. Just no. What? No.
What? Awful. That description. Shutter them down, and then that noise. Get no.
Like running your hand down a set of blinds.
Oh, God.
That's fleshy.
Jesus Christ.
Flesh blinds. Ah, meat curtains. That's another comment."
"No, you must have seen something. It's just the reflection of the water. Here, let's get Phil back on board. That icy water sobered me up quite a bit."
you kind of get support for Phil again, and with help, you row back to Melora's Borealis, where the crew drags you back up on deck, and there's some comments of, "We should have let him drown." while others say, "I think it was the sea was calling." Someone else says, "I saw Celeste push him. I think it's a mutiny." There's clear disgruntled not support going on throughout the crew.
Were people saying that they were in support of Celeste? Just curious for the
they
like,
were
rumors.
Saying they were saying it like gossipy people talking about the Real Housewives. It's more like you are their parasocial relationship that they're like enjoying to listen to and then talking about the hot goss. It's not really anyone for or against anything.
I approve.
They're spilling tea is what I'm trying to say.
I'm always a fan of that.
Has Amory gotten any levels? I feel like Amory needs to have leveled up by now.
I know you love sidekicks.
Sorry.
Bring us up, boy. Come on. I think Amory, we're under the levy pulley. Bring us up.
Helix says, you shot the pulley, sir.
Bring it up.
I hit him with one of the oars.
Ow, sir, I can't. it takes a while, but the crew figures out a way to like jerry-rig a new pulley now to replace the broken one and get the Naughty Dreams and the rest of you up on deck back to safety. The captain is obviously not drowned, so that's a twist. Fine. That's a twist. We didn't expect that.
Amory, would you bring me my cloak, boy?
Amory does fetch you your cloak. And a few of the crewmen are kind of staring at you. Jules, you notice that a lot of the crew are slacking off from their work and get starting to put a lot of side eye at the captain. Do you disrupt that by sending them back to work, or do you let them get a good skeptical stare in at their captain?
Hey, boys, is there something to look at that I'm missing, or did you guys get all your work done already?
There's some grumbling, and they go back, or they return back to their tasks.
That was like the sweetest stepdad kind of comment. I'm a big fan.
Also, I think the meanest Jules has ever been to the crew.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes I have to have a firm hand. They know I love them.
That is not a firm hand. That is an unattentive stepfather walking, like, yeah, you guys get the work done. Okay, I believe it. Hey, you guys want to go to a ball game after this?
You got time to lean, you got time to clean, boys. Let's go.
No, that one's more aggressive.
Less Leanton, more Cleanton.
Cleanton. Look.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So barring it, other than, you know, more escapades than occur throughout the night, or at some point while these celebrations and festivities and general raucousness of a pirate ship occur, one of the crew members, Horace the Bull, you might recall him from the Smuggler's Cove, he comes and finds Jules, because Jules has proven to be a attentive and nice person who also didn't knock him unconscious. so he finds Jules and says, "Oh, first mate, I've got something I want to talk about."
Sure thing, Horace. You've been having a good time on the ship?
Well, it's good. You know, it's less work. There's no slaving, which is kind of neat. Ah, the halls isn't very good, you know. Like, you brought, first time that you went out for treasure, you apparently talked to some sea witch and you brought back kelp.
He shudders at the mention of it, takes a swig of his grog and says, "Next time, you know, you ventured up to a imperial outpost and you brought back an old man and a sickly healer what can't swim. I'm a little confused. Where's the treasure coming?"
We have to build up to the good halls. I mean, we could be doing, you know, little things here and there, getting a few coins, but if we really want to get what we're all here for, which is the big halls, Horace, we've got to start making connections. We've got to start making some friends. We got to start finding where this real stuff is. And that's what we're still doing. We're still finding those big halls rather than settling for the little stuff.
Right. It sounds like the next step is to go to the Azure Stand, which seems more risk than it's worth, you know? I mean, they've got a good crew here. They killed the crew of the ghost, my ghost ship. Seems you could do the same thing and be hunting some trade lines instead of, going after haunted forests.
You think, is that what you're here for? Just hunting trade lines? And...
Yeah, plunder and treasure mostly. Bit of violence. Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting me a nice coat or something off a merchant. Occasionally I like to go to shore and, you know, I pay a nice lady to give me a nice time. But, you know, stuff like that.
What about the spirit of adventure, Horace?
Oh, I don't need no adventure. I can't afford her. What I'm trying to say is, right now we're not making much of a payment. We're paid in shares, and, well, me and some of the boys, we're not quite happy with it. You remember Two Teeth Bentley? Oh, she was from my old crew. She started talking about maybe pickpocketing things off the ship and hopping at next port. Now, I told her you can't do that. It's not good. And she told me to eat a dick. And, you know, I'm just trying to say that I think we need a bit of a haul. You know, money, coin, jewels. Hey, you're jewels. I'm not saying we need you. That's not what I meant.
It's all right, Horace. I understand, and I'm glad you came to me and told me this. I appreciate that. We hear you, and we will make sure that the crew is getting what they've signed on for.
So I was told that if you give a platitude-like answer like that, I'm supposed to say,
he reaches into a pocket, unfolds a piece of paper and starts trying to read, or like a piece of sailcloth with clearly something written on it. And he looks down on it and starts stuttering.
We, I can't read this. Do you know how to read?
Let me take a peek, Horace.
You look down and the notes that he was given, apparently one of them read, the one that he's pointing to, it reads, we will not settle for platitudes and only will settle for concrete, tangible actions.
Wow, Horace, this is well written. Who wrote this up?
I was told I'm not allowed to tell, and that they sent me to do it because I've got, I think it was, a kindly-ish disposition that's got a bit of a reminder of, like, a sick animal, and it's hard to be mean to me. I think that's what they said.
Interesting. So you can't... God, I mean, I would love to commend whoever wrote this. It's beautiful, but... I understand. Maybe they're a little shy. Well, what do you want? You want something more concrete, right?
Treasure, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't have any treasure in my hands.
I don't know what the word concrete means, because now that I think about it, I don't think that's a word yet, but...
something more cobbled, you know?
Yeah, something well-mortared.
Exactly. So you want to say... What do you want from me? I don't have a treasure chest I can give you right now.
He pauses for a long minute as if trying to consider it.
Horace, maybe if we just set up a meeting, we can bring everyone together. We can talk about this. Maybe, you know, we can grab whoever wrote this. You seem like you're not quite sure on the details. You know, we can grab Rubert, we can grab the crew, we can get everyone together and have a talk this one out. How does that sound?
Persuasion. Sorry. See if you can beat the persuasion of whomever gave him this this well-written, eloquent note that's clearly about forming a union on your boat.
And I'm going to use luck. I can use lucky, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a reroll, right? Or how does lucky work? Is that two rolls?
You have, whenever you make an attack, ability check, or saving throw, you can spend one to roll an additional d20 and choose which die to use. So I'm going to use that. And fingers crossed. Persuasion?
Yeah.
Shit. Okay, I got a 10.
Compared to your opponent. He shakes his head and says, no, I was told not to do that. I
was told basically to tell you that no questions asked. Next thing we do, it best bring treasure in the form of coins or trade goods. Elsewise, there's going to be a mutiny.
Interesting. I'm sorry to hear that, Horace.
Yeah, it's not great.
You know, I this must be really uncomfortable for you to have to be the one to come and do this. And I'm sorry that you're in that situation. I'll tell you, you're going to be all right, Horace. I appreciate you being forthright with me. I appreciate your honesty. I can't say so much for whoever wrote this, unfortunately. But you, at least... I can guarantee you're going to get some coin here coming up.
He nods and says, yeah, it's coin. That's what I want. Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to have missed the implied, the implication there. And he kind of shuffles back and says, all right.
Oh, and the other thing, they said no one on the boat's willing to go aboard at shore at Azure Stand. What with? No one who goes to Azure Stand ever lives. All right. Not Captain. No, Captain. Night. First mate.
Freudian slip.
Jules, you've been brought some spicy information. Do you take that to the rest of your crew? Your officers?
I'm going to take it to the officers. We have... almost a mutiny on our hands.
Where on the boat do you meet that the crew that other crewmen might not hear?
I'll gather people in the navigation room if it's all right with Celeste.
And meanwhile, Zelnern hosts yet another banquet in order to ensure they're all distracted.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you, Celeste. It looks like unless we start giving some, you know, gold to the crew, which let's be fair, this is what they're here for. We can't be too mad at them. We're going to have a mutiny on our hands. That being said, I think it is important that we suss out who amongst us has the gumption to organize something like this and to maybe take care of that problem.
Wait, Jules, who came to you? Who brought this to your attention?
I don't want to mention any names at the moment. I think the person who brought it for me was just kind of a rube. And I'd hate to see him take the fall.
And they wouldn't tell you who did it?
No, I couldn't get it out of him, although I know we have some folks in our hold who maybe are charismatic.
I know you're the first mate, but I mean, we could torture him and find out, maybe.
We're not torturing anyone on the crew.
We could skin him and hang him from the mast so that they know not to to mutiny.
You know, Phil,
we could roll with fear here.
Let's keep that one in our back pocket for now.
Okay. I didn't. The guy we had down in the brig told me that one. I didn't come up with that, I promise.
Yes.
you know, interesting that you mentioned that.
Are you talking about Devil's Grin Frederick, the sadistic torture murderer?
Yeah, Devil's Grin was telling me that that's what we needed to do.
Are you just?
I was asking him for advice earlier because I told him the crew was kind of being mean to Amory and I. And that's what he said. But
go down there and chat with our prisoners like every day.
Out of character. What's the other guy in the jail cell's name?
The merchant.
The sparrow.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just go down and say hi to the sparrow sometimes. Check on him.
How often? Make sure that sometimes.
Make sure he's got clean clothes. And,
also, what do you mean they're making fun of you and Amory? What does that mean?
When we got off the boat, they said they were making fun of us because we wouldn't save the captain.
Oh.
So I went and talked to Devil's Grin like 10 minutes ago. He told me that I should start skinning people if they were mean to us.
Phil, have you ever heard the sparrow saying anything down there that struck you as odd?
Yeah, he said that you had nicer eyes than me, and I got kind of jealous. But that's about it.
I wonder who in the crew did Horace, is it Horace's name?
What do you mean? It was Horace the Bull. Yeah.
Did Horace let me keep the note?
He did. Yeah. That was a mistake he made because he was supposed to read it, but he didn't know how to read.
So, looking at the handwriting, does it look like the handwriting of somebody who would be on a boat scrubbing a deck? Or does it look like somebody who might have written a lot of things in their time?
It is clearly the handwriting of somebody who took like formal penmanship classes.
I would say too, when you were like, we went back to the sparrow having like fresh clothes and blankets. I do think that he's like sweet talking Phil. So if he ever wrote a note to Phil, there would be a note there that we would be able to compare. Just saying. I feel like there would be a note there.
Has he ever written a note? I don't know who else on the crew would even be an option, but.
I mean, why do we have to make this a whole thing anyway? Why can't we just like tell the crew they have like casual Fridays? That's what Primewater does to his crew. You know, like, or what we do is whoever told you this, Jules, we bring him along. We offer him a little bit of a bigger cut to like kind of get everyone to quiet down. So that way they don't mutiny, you know? Give him what the crew wants, and then everyone knows to stay in line.
That's true. It would make everyone jealous, although he might end up in trouble. I don't know if we could get much
trouble
more
by
casual.
Who? Where the by the crew?
Yeah, Celeste has a point. We don't have a second mate yet. We need a second mate in case anything happens to you.
You know what? Let's either make that guy or Amory second mate.
Yeah, they got to be third mate. Amory second mate. God damn, I love that boy.
I love that boy too.
Give him all the lemon cakes.
I think we need to have a discussion with the sparrow.
Yes, the sparrow. The sparrow.
What?
It's a thorn in our side right now. He has been speaking to the crew, and I think he needs to be made an example of.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. He's just misunderstood.
I thought we were going to sell him. Wasn't that the like controversial curse thing that happened?
Also, the crew has been given a share. We took the magic items and we sold them to Primewater, and
We have that hoard of gold and we've split it.
It's true, but the last two adventures you haven't gotten gold.
They are getting greedy and they don't know what's good for them. And the sparrow is feeding them indulgent lies. And he has been on board this ship for too long.
You know what? All we gotta do is like one of those big fancy speeches that Rubert does, just persuade them or whatever, and say like, adventure is not easy. Good treasure is not a one and done thing. It's like you go blah, blah, blah. It's about the journey and blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever those rich humans say on land.
Normally I would agree, but it seems there is a counter charmer on this ship. And I think it is the sparrow.
I'm just saying, You're cursed, man. You can only kill so many people.
Rubert, be reasonable. He's a great guy.
You know what? Let's have the stars decide.
I'm tired of talking to the stars. Jules,
you're not talking to the stars. I want to make that point clear. That's me.
Jules, bring me the sparrow.
Okay, I gather the officers and I gather what the crew that I judge to be the most loyal. I feel like I have my favorites. And I go to gather up the sparrow and bring him up to the navigation room.
All right, so you grab a small contingent of crewmen. Do you bring any of the other officers with you, or is it just you, like, four trusted crewmen that you can trust somewhat? But keep in mind, the crew as a whole has a loyalty score of zero, so
yeah.
There's not really any particular people you can be like, I trust that person.
Mm-hmm. I'd bring all the officers that are willing to come.
All right, any of you officers coming with?
I feel like I'd be with Rubert. No, you can't do this. Maybe you take Zelnern with you.
Zelnern's busy distracting most of the crew with a fine feast.
Maybe you take Amory with you?
I think I need some backup.
Yeah, I'm going. I want the crew to see this. He needs to be made an example of.
Oh, so wait, is everyone going or is it just Jules?
Well, we're going down to the sparrow to talk and then bring him up board, and then I want the rest of the crew to see.
Yeah, all right. So I'm following along, being like, no, you can't do this.
So Jules is leading the way down the stairs with few crewmen that you could maybe trust. Phil begging Rubert not to do this, imploring the officer, saying, no, he's a good guy. While Rubert has a grim look on his face. And as you step down into the hold, the smell of incense and sweetness fills the air. As you look, you see that the door to the brig is actually open. Though you do see, and you know, there's cushions and things you didn't even realize you had aboard are in here. And you see that Cyclop is sitting there. She's on a cushion, kind of enjoying her time. Meanwhile, so is Devil's Grin Frederick. But as you step in to view, they kind of scramble to their feet, taking fighter's stances. And then the sparrow kind of steps out from around the corner of the brig and says, "No need for all that fighting." And it for a sec, you see that he has a steaming like teacup. It's chipped. But you can't help but wonder, where the fuck did he get a teacup on board? And he kind of waves them off and says, worry not, for my good friends. There's no reason to be in a violent stance. Captain Rubert, a pleasure to see you. I'm glad you would come down to visit me.
Enjoying your tea?
It's quite an excellent brew. From the Ancien La Chapelle, actually. Would you care for some? I have a whole pot brewing.
No, that's quite all right. Thank you, though. Actually, no, I could use a cup.
He calls out to one of the crew members that that Jules brought down and says, Anis, you mind grabbing him a cup? And immediately that crew member snaps to attention at the sparrow's instruction and heads off to go and grab the cup. The sparrow smiles.
Hmm.
It's late at night. Is there business you're in need of, or is this just a social visit? Captain, officers?
A little of column A, a little of column B. Sparrow. You are too charismatic for your own good. You know that?
He laughs and says, oh, it's hard for there to be such a thing. But I think that you know that as well as I do, don't you?
I wish. Too much competition, it's hard to understand your own talents sometimes.
Cyclop interrupts with a sneer and says, oh, fuck off with this! We get it. You are coming down here trying to make threatening motions to him. You know that he's obviously cooking up a mutiny. Why don't you have it at Steel and be done with it?
That is a great suggestion, Cyclop.
Devil's Grin sneers in the corner and says, I'd like to see you get your face cut right off, Captain. And maybe that kelp used to strangle you up. Disgusting deep creature.
Sparrow, would you follow me?
The sparrow says, oh, I would love to, but I fear I'm not one for the martial arts. I would never try to be a captain, you see. Instead, I would actually recommend that in any such testament of martial ability, either of my loudmouthed and rash friends who lack that charisma that we were talking about could serve as a perfect substitute. As he gestures to Cyclop on one end and Devil's Grin on the other, implying them to be his champions in a duel.
Oh, see, that's the thing. I was not asking you. I was telling you. You will follow me. A true captain and leader leads by example.
It's a tense moment. Failure could provoke a mutiny right here. Let's go ahead and see if that intimidate works. Do any of the other officers assist him? You can.
Does I'm like flipping through my Taroga deck and like.
Oh shit, this augury sucks. It's just death cards. There's not normally like this.
Got the necromancer. I got the horseman upside down. I got the merchant upside down. It's all bad. Guidance.
Hey, merchant upside down might be good.
Yeah.
Can I do a minor illusion to do a Gandalf intimidating Frodo esque? You know, spooky moment for Ruben.
Okay, yeah, I like that. You emphasize him drawing in the lights, drawing him up. Ruben, you have advantage on this, and plus 1d4 to see if you can be more intimidating than the sparrow has been influential.
All right, so that's going to be 23.
There is a tense moment. A loud pause in the air. You see that it looks Devil's Grin and Cyclop exchange glances at each other, at the sparrow, even the crewmen with you. Enos, who he had sent to get the cup of tea, has emerged with tea. He's looking at the sparrow. He's looking at the officers and captain. He's looking at Cyclop and Devil's Grin, eyes exchanging everywhere. As there's this moment of worry, is how will the sparrow respond? If he doesn't respond well, if he refuses, will it mean all-out mutiny? Will it mean a bloodbath here below deck, spilling across the upper deck? Will it mean someone bursting into the officer's or the cook's quarters and slitting Zilnern's throat while he tries to create a meal? Will it mean Amory keel-hauled? Will it mean the officers drowned and dragged behind the boat? But if he doesn't refuse, does it nullify the whole thing? It is a tense moment. And then it breaks. But it breaks in the way you were hoping for, because I rolled a 9. And the sparrow lowers his hands and says, but of course, let's follow the captain up on deck to where the rest of the crew is waiting. The Cyclop and Devil's Grin kind of pause for a moment. Devil's Grin says, "Better that we just got him down here." And Cyclop says, "You absolute idiot. Yes, we'll join you on deck, Captain, for now." And the crewmen you brought down with you, they don't fight or oppose the idea, and you're able to head up on deck. Yes, how Jules.
How many people are currently down below deck with us total?
There is the three prisoners in quotes. There's the three of you, four of you, and then there's the four crewmen you brought down. So it's 11.
Is there no way we can keep like most of the prisoners in prison while Cyclop comes upstairs?
Wait, why do you want Cyclop to come upstairs?
Not Cyclop. Keep Cyclop in prison. Bring Sparrow upstairs.
You could, but it would clearly require the use of force to make it so. And the application of force could spark mutiny.
I'll wait.
This is a Shattered Isles powder keg waiting to explode. So, do you let them all up on deck? Or do you escort them up on deck, or do you murder them in the hall?
No, I'll escort them on deck. I need the crew to see.
All right, you bring them up on deck. The crew kind of abandons their duties unless, Jules, you try to force them back to their duties. If not, even those in the mess come out to witness as you kind of bring out towards like the center deck between the two masts. You've brought out Cyclop, Devil's Grin, and the Sparrow.
So can you have like cinematic scene, like the crew, like basically like in a big circle around the main mast, Sparrow and I in the center, officers like at the corners of the circle, inside circle. So it has come to my attention that you have all been influenced by a man aboard this ship. Someone who has convinced you that the captain and officers of this ship are not to be trusted. That we will not bring you fame and gold and glory.
There's a murmuring of support saying, "Yeah, that's true. You ain't giving us nothing," from among the crew.
This man is a liar and a swindler. A man who sold his own crew as slaves to get ahead. A man you would trust to mutiny against the officers that have slayed these very slavers that he sold his own crew into. A man that watched his fellow crew die in front of him and then groveled at the feet of their liberators.
I need a persuasion to see how well that part of the argument worked.
A persuasion?
Yes.
19.
All right, keep going. The crew seems to support the idea, or support what you're saying. There's some skeptical nods about it as you point out that he's, that he betrayed his own crew. He's a mutineer, and that worse, he sold them and then groveled, which seems pathetic.
I understand your reservations. Our journey has not been the normal life of a pirate or of a privateer. But we are more than that. We are Malorus Borealis. We are known among the Shattered Isles as those that freed the Port of Skulls. We took down the ghost ship. Treasure is coming. While it might not be in gold, there will be gold. It will come in fame and notoriety and treasure. Every one of you, all you need say is that I served aboard Malorus Borealis, and there will be
men and women at your feet. Whatever you wish, you need to go into port and sing songs of your deeds, and treasure will come. But first, we must rid ourselves of the true curse aboard this ship, the Sparrow. And then I'll throw my rapier at his feet.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.